Thank you, Pastor. Man, I was excited tonight looking out across the congregation. I saw so many of our children with their hands in the air worshiping. Saw so many of our adults with their hands in the air worshiping, and everybody else, wherever, whatever category you want to put yourself in, just a great atmosphere of worship. And was so thankful this morning for the way the Lord came by and moved, and he ministered in our Sunday school class, just a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And you know, I don't think that that should be uncommon. Amen. You know, and so I'm believing for more, and asking the Lord to do more in my heart and in our lives here at the church. And I've told our youth group this tonight in the prayer room, and wanted to share it with you in case it got back to you. I'm going to be sharing a portion out of the series that we have been doing in our Sunday school class for the last several weeks. We finished up the series today, and but there is a portion of scripture that we didn't cover. And I you know, we just in the series of our discussion, we didn't hammer it really at all. But I felt strongly tonight that as a church, it would benefit us if we went back to this. So I've asked our young people to amen me tonight. I don't normally say that out loud, but the reality is you've had 7 weeks of this. So I'm hoping by this point we're not bored with it. I'm hoping that we're excited about the reality of God's Word and the ever-present help that you and I have access to in the time of trouble. All right? And so it's a familiar portion of Scripture, but man, I'm praying the Lord tonight would just bring it to us in a fresh way. Would that be all right? Amen. Book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Our text this evening is going to be the 25th verse to the 31st verse. 1 Samuel 17, verse 25. Preston overheard me discussing what I was going to be talking about with the youth group, and he said, David's a small guy, and Goliath is a really big, and I said, giant. He said, that's it. David and Goliath. Y'all, we've heard this before, right? I mean, literally, this story, the phrase David and Goliath has been used in sporting terms. It's been used in terms of business. It's been used for any situation where it's a small guy against a big guy. We're familiar with it. But there's some things that we can learn tonight from this story that I believe the Lord would like to use to help us. And I tell you what, I don't intend on limping into heaven. I really don't believe, Brother Kroger, we're just going to fall into the gates one of these days and say, man, I'm glad that's over. No, if we're going to make it, we're going to make it intentionally. And so tonight, I believe the Lord would like to get our attention on His intentions for our church. Amen. Let's read together tonight, 1 Samuel 17, verse 25. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. The enemy has an agenda. If you haven't found that out yet, you're going to find it out real quick. The enemy has an agenda. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? Basically, he says, somebody tell me that again. What's going to happen to the man that kills the Philistine and taketh away, notice this, the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I appreciated during revival as Brother Webb told us that the devil is a loser. Amen. I like that. The devil is a loser. David said of Goliath, who is this? Hallelujah. Who does he think he is to come up against God? Glory to Jesus' name. The people answered him after this manner, saying, so it shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. David said, what have I now done? This is our main focus right here. Is there not a cause? What have I now done? Is there not a cause? David, he stops talking to his brother. And he gets back down to business. He turned from him toward another, and he spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the same manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Glory to God. I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes on there really is a cause. There really is a cause. Amen. Would you do something for me tonight? I'd like you to pray intentionally if you would. Pray for yourself, pray for your family, and pray for your church tonight that the Lord would minister in this service and around these altars. Can we do that? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I'm so rejoicing tonight in the way that you've been moving in our hearts, moving in my life personally. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that you would rest on me, Lord, to speak your word, the burden that you have given to us. I pray tonight for my family. I pray that you would anoint us. Let our home be a holy home. Minister to my wife and children. Revive our hearts. Minister in my life, Lord. Let the anointing rest in my life. God, minister to our church. We need you in this hour. We're not ashamed to admit we're in the midst of the battle, but God, with you, we are victorious. Hallelujah. Move tonight amongst your people. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise for it. In your holy name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for standing in honor of the word. Is there not a cause? Yes, there really is a cause worth fighting for. Amen. I'm looking across the landscape of my life now, and Brother Caleb, I'm seeing how things are changing almost daily. How the things that I used to have a desire for, Brother Hoffman, have changed, and my ambitions have changed, and the burden of my life has changed, and it's all because of this. I'm a family man now. And the things that I did when I was a boy, they seem so ignorant and silly and just a waste of time, and sometimes I'm having a hard time even connecting with our own young people about the stuff that's fun. I still can't understand how a fidget spinner became a $1 million operation, right? How did we not think of this? Things change. I'll tell you what doesn't change, though, is the reality that this life that we are living is worth fighting for. When I became a Christian, I was 12 years old. But at the age of 12, I understood that I could not go back to where Jesus had brought me from. There was a cause worth fighting for. Throughout my teen years, it's not hard to remember the struggles, guys, to remember the temptations. You may be in this room 50, 60, 70 years old, but you could still recall a time where those temptations were pulling at your heart, and it seemed like in that very moment, you were up against the greatest giant you'd ever known. And yet you're still here. Because you realized even in that moment there was something else worth living for. Something else worth dying for. Something else that you had given your commitments to. Can I tell us this evening, there is a cause worth living for in this last hour. We who have been born again, who have been called out of darkness and have been changed into this marvelous light, who were sometimes alienated and afar off, we've been made nigh by the blood of Christ. There's something worth fighting for. A little bit of history in this story. The Philistines, who were often the thorn and the side of the Israelites, have come again, and this time they've brought a man who by all accounts was a giant of a man, a stature that was so high and it caused great intimidation. But not only that, the Bible gives us the title that he was a man of war, Brother Heath. Saul understood who he was. He had heard stories. He had heard reports that from his youth he was trained to do battle and to war against Israel. From his youth. I want to tell you, sometimes the enemy would love to remind us of his power, his past victories, and love to spew the venom of who he is. We have a lot of Christians, even under the sound of my voice, that you have taken note of the enemy's lies and his speech, and it has caused fear to enter into our hearts. Amen, Brother Brian. You know, there are many times in this story we like to associate ourselves with David. You notice that? We like to be the winner. We like to be the guy that goes and we pick up the stone and we're the ones who get the victory. But all too often, you and I usually are like the Israelites. We go to war and we hear who's coming and we fall back to our defenses and we sit there and we hope to God somebody gets the victory on our behalf. We sit there and we hear the enemy lying about our God, and we hear the enemy lying about our salvation. We hear the enemy lying about our standard. We hear the enemy lying about our convictions. We hear the enemy lying about who we are, and we sit back and we take it. Just hoping somebody's got a word from heaven to fight the enemy. Because if it was up to us, we'd rather just stay comfortable than actually engage in warfare. You see, when life is comfortable, nobody's rocking the boat. I'd rather not like, I don't like confrontation. Personally, I don't. I don't enjoy it. But I gotta tell you that we are in a confrontational lifestyle. And the world that we are living in has made it the focus of their ambitions to destroy everything that you and I are as children of God. The Bible said, Jesus told the disciples, the world will hate you because they hated me. Don't you know there have been a lot more giants that have come since Goliath has fallen? There's a lot more giants even tonight that are in your life that the Lord would like to take care of. You see, although we may not exactly be like David, can I tell you that Jesus is exactly like David was? You see, Jesus was obedient to his Father. Jesus took care of the giant on the cross. He took the keys of death and hell and the grave. He is victorious. There has never been, nor will there ever be, a giant that is greater than the power of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you tonight, we must rely on Jesus for victory. But what are some of these giants that are in our way that we need to take to the Lord so that he can take care of them? I think we've got some giants like the giant of compromise. And it is influencing a whole nation before us right now. Spewing out lies about who God is and about what God's word has said, how we are to live and how we are to operate. I am so tired of listening to a voice from the enemy that is trying to dictate how you and I are to live. There is no power behind it. All it does is destroy. The giant of compromise must fall beneath the anointing of Jesus Christ. And if you and I believe the words of that giant, we'll find ourselves in captivity. Goliath told them, he said, send out a man and we'll fight. If he wins, we will be your slaves. Let me tell you right there, I'm going to stop for a minute. That was a lie. The Philistines never intended on staying. Why? Because when Goliath fell, they took off and ran. The enemy will promise you things that he will never deliver. But he said, if you lose, you'll be our slaves. I'm going to tell you right now, the giant of compromise is a slave taskmaster. For when you bow your knee to that giant, you cannot, or very rarely will you ever, get away from it. Can I tell you, beloved, we must remember who we are. Amen. David walks out. He's here to deliver food. But you see, when a man has been with God in the midst of his daily life, when the battle comes up, he's not intimidated by a liar. Beloved, we have waited so long in between our encounters with Christ that when we encounter a giant, we don't know what to say to him. We don't know how to act. We don't know what to do. I mean, we had a great service this morning, but are you going to do something in the Spirit of the Lord tomorrow morning? We had a great encounter with God during revival, but what about the week since? I'm talking to us about the reality that David was not intimidated by a giant because he understood his daily relationship with God had already brought deliverance to his life. So what do you say when the giant of compromise begins to speak to you? You take him back to the altar where God dealt with you in the first place. You see, David, he comes and he says, listen, God already delivered me from the hand of the lion, or the paw of the lion, or the paw of the bear. He saved my sheep. He gave me the anointing to take care of them. This uncircumcised Philistine is just the same as them. It doesn't matter who the giant is. It's about who God is. And the only way that we can remember who we are is if we hear it from our Father. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, there have been a lot of moments since I got saved at 12 years old that I've had to find my place at an altar and my Heavenly Father remind me who I was in Him. There were moments in college, hear me young people, there were moments in college when I was offered drugs, when I was offered sexual things, when I was offered immorality, and I remembered who I was because I knew who my Father was. Can I tell you that when the giant of compromise begins to speak to your life, you have to take him back to where God changed you. Go back to those services of Southern when he began to speak to your life about who he wanted you to be. Go back to those moments in revival, Brother Brad, when he began to pour into your life and you knew he was talking to you. Let's go back to Camp Dove services. When God's Spirit, even as a boy, was beginning to minister in my life and I knew the difference between God and my own thoughts. Come on now. David was a boy, but he knew God personally. And that giant of compromise, it doesn't matter to that giant who's listening. He's going to pull at every age he can. It don't matter if it's a kid or an adult or even a grandparent. Listen, we used to talk about these issues only to our young people at youth camp, all the while their parents and grandparents were backsliding at home while the kids were at youth camp. Beloved, as a church, we must encounter and face these giants through the power of Jesus Christ. We cannot fall to the bondage of the giant of compromise. It's going to enslave you. I promise you that it'll destroy your children. It will destroy your grandchildren. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your home. Amen. God's deliverance was never intended to be used and then misused and thrown away. When He brought us out of sin, He intended to keep us out of sin. But those that believe in the Word of God, amen, they'll find that if they use the sword of the Spirit, they'll be able to combat that giant of compromise because the power of Christ dwells in them. I believe there's another giant that we need to face. And we need to have the power of God in our lives to kill this thing. It's the giant of condemnation. There are folks under the sound of my voice, you may have sinned 20, 30, even 30, 40 years ago. And the enemy still brings it up to you. You took care of it years ago. But when things start getting tight, he begins to remind you of that mistake. Can I tell you something? That the Bible says there is no condemnation in Christ. That those that have been forgiven have been put under the blood of Jesus, and that you and I, we have been pardoned by His grace and His mercy. I'll never forget when I gave my life to the Lord at 12 years old. I continually prayed and prayed and prayed about some stuff that I had done, and I couldn't get past it. For 2 years, I struggled with those mistakes and that shame and that guilt. One day, it was right here at the altar. I was crying out to the Lord again, God, I need you to forgive me of this. And just like you and I are talking, Sister Alexander, I heard him say, was my blood not strong enough the first time you asked me? Can I tell you that if you've taken your past to the Lord, that giant of condemnation has to fall by the wayside, because the power of Jesus Christ is greater than the power of our past mistakes. Beloved, we must allow God to not only set us free, but move us forward. Amen. To set those things in the past and allow God's Spirit to revive us, to rejuvenate us. Amen. To make us new. Hey, I know we've made mistakes. I'm right there with you. But I also know that when I kneel before the Lord, all He sees is the blood of Jesus. I don't deserve it. I don't understand it. But I'm so glad that He did it. Hallelujah. Condemnation is not from God. Amen. There is a difference in condemnation and conviction. Listen, if you've sinned, the Holy Spirit will convict you. If we are children of God, we ought to be thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The book of Hebrews tells us that those whom He loves, He chastens, because we are not illegitimate. If we have sinned, we ought to rejoice that the Holy Spirit still deals with us. Amen. Woe to us when we have seared our conscience to the point that we no longer understand when the Holy Spirit is convicting us. But beloved, hear me. The Holy Spirit does not condemn us. Condemnation's from the enemy. You see, condemnation says there's no hope. You blew it. You messed up. It's over with. The Holy Spirit says, oh, you blew it. You messed up. Now won't you come to Jesus? Oh, we messed up, but won't you find grace in the time of need? Oh, we messed up, but a good man falls 7 times and he gets back up again. The enemy and that giant would love to condemn you and make your past all in your face every day, every time you go to worship, every time you go to witness, every time you go to move and minister. He's going to try, put him in the past and let the Spirit of God kill that giant. Let him take care of that condemnation so that you can live a victorious life. I believe there's another giant. It's the giant of contention and conflict. Brother, I believe I've told this before. I was thinking about it today, though. When we went to North Dakota on a missions trip with Brother Martin and his family, he told us before we left, you are going to encounter a supernatural attack when you come to this Indian reservation. It's going to happen. And we're like, okay, what's that mean? He said, look, it's hard to explain. I just want you to be prayed up. Don't wait till you get on the trip to start praying. You need to be prayed up and ready when you come. We got there and we had a close group on that trip. Really close friends for years, best friends. And it was amazing how the littlest things started offending, bickering, fighting. Brother Martin pulled us together and he said, didn't I tell you? You're going to face spiritual attack. The giant of contention is so at work in this generation. It is ministering in adults. It is ministering in professionals. It's ministering in politicians. It's ministering in churches. Contention, bickering, fighting, backstabbing, all of these, the Bible said in the New Testament, would be a sign of the end times. Can I tell you, though, it doesn't have to be that way in your home. It doesn't have to be that way in your marriage. It doesn't have to be that way in the church. We have been born again, made righteous by the blood of Jesus. We can live sanctified and holy, and that can also mean our tongue. That can also mean our attitude. That can mean how we walk, how we talk, how we love one another. That giant's got to come down. Hallelujah. You got to kill it. You got to ask the Holy Spirit to give you the power and the wherewithal to kill the giant of conflict in your life. Are you easily offended? Oh, come on now. If you get offended at that question, then you just might be. If you ever get a chance, there's a great... Well, anyway, I'm going to leave that alone. Come see me if you want to see something funny about offense. It's really great. I'm going to leave it alone, though. You know why that giant is so real today? Because we're feeding it. We're feeding it. Nobody's killed it, Brother Steve. 40 days, Goliath came out there. You know, it's amazing how we kind of get these mental pictures. I don't know if it's flannel graph, you know, Sunday school stuff, but in my mind, we see Bible stories, and it's kind of always cutesy. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's cut out, and here's good-looking David, and he's got his staff, and he's got his sling, and here's the big arm. This is a battle. You realize that the soldiers were hiding. You know, it's almost like we think that David went to a convention of other shepherds and had to say he's his spokesman. These are men of war. And they're intimidated. And they're fearful. They were trained to do battle. Eliab, who bickers and has conflict with David, who's his own brother, he is taller and more handsome than any of his other brothers. And yet he's cowering down with fear. Why was there conflict between David and Eliab? Why? Because Eliab was rejected. Eliab never took care of the emotions that he was facing. Eliab never talked to David, at least as far as we know, about what was in his heart. You see, Eliab thought, I'm the firstborn. I'm going to get chosen. Samuel thought that's how it was going to be. Lord, look at this guy. Obviously, this is who you want to be king. He said, no, I see the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but I see the heart. There was conflict. There was contention in the home of David because it was never taken care of months ago when there was a hurt and a pain and a rejection. And so when David comes out and begins to talk about what he's going to do and what God wants to do, Eliab barks at him. You're prideful. You're arrogant. You're here for a show. I know it. You think you're all... There is nobody better able to push your buttons than a family member. Come on, somebody. Especially a brother. Woo! You want to talk about a fist fight dropping like that, you let a brother start pushing your buttons or a sister. I didn't have a sister, but I had Ryan. Amen. I was telling somebody the other day, Ryan and I shared a room. And I don't know what happened, but we locked the door and went at it one night. And we just, you know, we needed to have some conflict resolution. And we went at it until Sister Mary, one of us, I think it was me, but he's not here, so I might say it's him. One of us punched a hole in the wall. And we both stopped. So we grabbed a picture and put it over the, they never said a word. Till we both moved out, and my dad and mom took that room. And took the picture down. How'd that picture get there? Well, what had happened was, you know, conflict. I want to talk to our teens for a second. I want to talk to the parents of our teens for a second, okay? It should not be normal to have fighting in our homes. That is a lie from the enemy. That is a lie from the giant of conflict and contention. It is a lie that a brother and sister have to fight just because they're brother and sister. That's a lie. It is a lie from hell. It is propagated in our media, in our entertainment, but it is not so. And when we have a home that is built on contention, you will have relationships that are built on contention. Eliab looked at David and he was angry. Why was he angry? He should have been thankful because David was chosen over him and he was still salty about it. He didn't know how to handle it. You know what David does? I love this response, Sister Judy. He looks at him and he says, what have I done to you? And here's where, is there not a cause? This isn't about you and I. This isn't about what you're upset with me about. This isn't about what you and I have had a beef about. This is about something greater than you and I. And that is the reality that if we don't kill this giant, it's going to kill our families. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't start killing some giants or let the Holy Spirit kill some giants in your life, it is going to kill your families. I have watched, and I have watched churches somewhere in the United States. Within 10 years, they have had 5 church splits. Almost all family, but not all family. And you know who it messed up? It wasn't the older folks. They're still going all to their 5 different churches. You know who it messed up? It messed up their kids and their grandkids, who at one time had a powerful youth group. Listen, do not take for granted the reality that God has blessed this church, because it could very well be within an instant of us allowing the enemy to infiltrate how we think, how we operate, and how we work. It could be just an instant before there is fractions and splinters, and this is over here, and that's over there, and that giant has got to be killed before it kills your family! I have watched as those grandchildren have entered into drug abuse and sexual abuse and marriages falling apart and all sorts of nonsense because parents and grandparents could not get their Christian lives together. God forbid if we allow that giant into our church. I don't want it in my home. I don't want it in my marriage. I don't want him in my mind. I want him dead. Because I love my children too much to watch them follow me straight to hell. You love your children too much. I looked across this congregation and my heart was stirred as I saw in every section children with their hands lifted. There is a cause worth fighting for. Oh God. I hope you understand the reality of this. You may not be in conflict right now, but believe me, that giant is waiting to destroy your home. It's got to die. It's got to die. David said, as he goes to battle, "You come at me with a sword and a spear and a shield. The enemy is going to come at you with weapons." I'm serious. Y'all think, kids, you think it's just random that you have issues with your parents? No, the enemy wants you to have issues with your parents. Shut that wall of communication up. Let's get it bricked up. I don't want you talking to your mom and dad. I don't want you talking to your grandparents. I don't want you talking to your pastors. The enemy's going to come at you with weapons. They don't love me. They don't understand me. They probably wish I wasn't even here. Weapons. Weapons. Adults, I've seen it. They gave me a dirty look. Well, Brother Heath might have been thinking about working on electric for all I know. But see, the enemy begins to plant stuff. You know what Goliath was doing? He was planting seeds of doubt. I defy God. What are you going to do about it? I defy the armies of Israel. You're weak. You might as well give up. You might as well quit right now, because you're not going to win. Look at me. And so we begin to hear those lies. We begin to process them. And instead of killing it the first day, can I stop right here and say, King Saul should have been at the front of the line. Why was he chosen to be king of Israel? He was the tallest. He was the baddest. He was the biggest. And where was he? He was in his tent. And he had men of war. He had men of war. I want to talk to our men for a second here. He had men chosen that were just as skilled as Goliath was, but they thought about who they were through Goliath's eyes and through his speech. Men, God has called you to be far more powerful than the enemy would like you to believe. God has called you to lead. God has called you and ordained you to take authority over your home. That is not an authority of abuse. That is an authority of protection. I lock the doors at night. I lock the windows at night. I am not asking Preston and Emma and Eden to do that job. It is my responsibility. I wake up in the morning and go to work, and I come home and I labor. Why? Because I have a responsibility. But if we draw the line and we say, this is it, with no spiritual strings attached, and we just throw it on our wives or we throw it on our children, we are neglecting the responsibility of a father and a husband. God has called us to be warriors and men of God. David had plenty of men that could have defeated Goliath, but they would not trust in God because they had not been walking with God. And you and I, beloved, the only way we will ever engage in conflict through the power of Jesus Christ is if we are walking with Him. I'm not here to beat my chest and act like I'm all that, guys. I'm not. I have just really been finding out lately how much I must depend on Him. David, He's already been making melody in his heart to the Lord. He's been loving God out in the fields in a job that nobody even cares about. But he still knew that God loved him. You know what I love about this story? I didn't notice it before until we did our series. That giant of conflict was killed, Brother Heath. Because the Bible tells us that years later, David's slain Goliath, and now he's king. And it gives a list of his mighty men of war. You know who we find in there? We find Eliab. You see, God has a great way of bringing about healing in contentious places. They patched it up, and David put him in a position of honor. And it's recorded through history that that relationship was mended. Can I tell you that that giant's got to fall? Now, there's a lot of giants in our lives that we face on a daily basis. We just went through about 2 months of this. You might be facing the giant of fear, rejection, the giant of comfort. I'd rather just stay in my tent than fight Goliath. There's a lot of giants that we face. But he already took care of it. He already took care of it. So all we have to do is say, Lord, here I am. And you know what? This whole nonsense about, well, you know, just act like it's not there and it won't be there. That's not faith. That's stupidity. All right? If you wake up in the morning and you're under attack, go to the Lord honestly and say, Lord, this is what I'm facing. But I believe your strength is stronger and your grace is able. So I'm going to bring it to you. I'm going to ask you to take care of it on the altar. And I'm going to trust that you still love me. And I'm going to depend on you today. And it might not be easy, Lord, but I said it when I got saved. I promised the Lord I'd be a soldier if you wrote my name. And so, Lord, I'm deciding this morning, before I ever get to that job, before I ever get into that situation, Lord, I'm going to trust you. That is how the giant starts to fall. Because we take it to the warrior who has already conquered it. I want to tell you something. David got victory that day. And I love this part. When he's walking up, I didn't finish. You come to me with a sword and a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. And I love this. David's confidence is rising with every step. He said, not only am I going to kill you, I'm going to cut your head off. There has got to be a moment in our lifetime where we stop playing games with the enemy and we look at the devil and we acknowledge the fact that we are in a battle and we acknowledge the giant that we are facing and we say no more, no more of your lies, no more of your evil, no more of your attacks, no more. You die today. And just in case you thought about resurrecting, I'm going to cut the head off and I'm going to show it to the enemy. Why? Because we can have victory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. We can have victory. We don't have to limp into heaven. Beloved, we're going to run. I'm telling you, He's already won the victory. You want to know how it ends? Read the book of Revelation. You might get a fresh perspective. Read Matthew 24. Talks all about the giants in this world right now, but it also talks about where we're heading. I'm telling you, if you just follow Jesus, you're gonna get the victory. Let's stand all across the house. Music, would you come? Glory to God. Glory to God. I maybe didn't say what you're facing tonight, but I don't have to. The Holy Ghost has a way of showing us what we're up against. Whatever you're facing tonight, I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus has the power to defeat it. If it's temptation, He's got the grace to help you in the time of need and give you a way of escape. If it's a situation that's out of your control, He's got the power to make things right. But we got to bring it to Him. We got to ask Him. Brother Brad, I'm telling you, we are on the cusp of victory. We are right here, right now. The altar is the place where the Lord would like to start slaying some giants in our way. I'm telling you, we do not have to falter. We don't have to cave in. We don't have to quit. Amen. That's a whole giant in itself. We need to get knocked out of the way. That whole giant of go ahead and quit. Go ahead and just give up. Amen. Some of y'all been listening to that giant for a little while. It'd be easier if I just stayed home tonight. No, it won't. I say let's keep on going. Let's keep on running. Amen. They chased those Philistines, Brother Carr. They chased them out of the valley. They chased them over the mountain. And they got a victory. Why? Because when they knew the giant was dead, the army behind him was nothing. Can I tell you, when your giant falls, you'll realize who the winner's going to be. And tonight, He wants to give you victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Play whenever you're ready to. I want you to come tonight. Find a place around the altar. Bring your honesty to the Lord. Bring your situation. Bring what's happening. Bring that thing in your life that's defeating you. Bring it to the Lord. Let Him give you the victory. Oh God, I need You tonight. Lord, I need victory tonight. Lord, this area I'm struggling, but I need victory tonight. God, I want You to tell me who You want me to be. Oh, I want that giant of compromise to die. Oh, I want that giant of compromise to fall. I'm going to be who You want me to be. You said I'm Your child. You said we're set apart, that we can live holy and righteously. God, I want to be who You want me to be. Let them fall. Let that contention go. Oh, let that fighting and bickering go. Amen. Leave it at the altar. Give victory tonight. Hallelujah.